As you can see from the agenda, we have a special keynote speaker this afternoon. She's a local girl. In fact, she hails from not that very far away from here. Even though she is a member of the Labour Party, she's not here today representing her new party leader. Can I say, whilst I wouldn't naturally be a natural Labour supporter, I think there's a little bit of pride every time we do see her on television. A local girl who's done well, a good constituency MP. I think any constituency would be glad to have her. And a very capable advocate for this cause. I trust this is a cause that you will be successful in. Representing Labour Leave, Kate, the podium is yours.
Not a Labour audience. Thank you very much indeed for inviting me. I was really genuinely pleased when Jim asked me to come along and speak about the Labour Leave campaign and the campaign to leave the EU in general. And I had no hesitation in saying yes to Jim, because I have great admiration for Jim in many ways, many things. I don't agree with everything, but on everything that Jim does speak out on, he speaks out because he knows that it is the right thing, what he believes in, and it's the kind of politics that I've always felt I wanted to be involved in, that I want to do what I think is right, even if sometimes you're in a great, great minority. And I think that sometimes, in the end, works out best. I'm also very pleased because Jim has been one of those people who's worked with me and one or two other politicians in Northern Ireland to try and reverse a really, really unjust situation, which goes against all the terms of the Belfast Agreement, and that is the right of young people or anyone in Northern Ireland to have the opportunity to play their sport for Northern Ireland and to be able to compete with a British team rather than being forced to be part of an All-Ireland team. On that, but on particularly on boxing, where the Northern Ireland Boxing Association has been set up, and Sport Northern Ireland, that some of the boxers refer to as Sport Ireland, has been absolutely reluctant to recognise the Boxing Association of Northern Ireland. And I think it's quite wrong that young people do not have that choice to be either competing in sport as a British person coming from Northern Ireland, or if they wish to, as an Irish person. At the moment, they have the choice to be only Irish, and I think that is wrong. So thank you, Jim, for all the work that you've done on that, and we're going to continue that battle. Right, now, I think that also the TUB have done a really important job today of having this discussion at their conference, because the referendum over the next 2 years is going to involve everyone. It's going to be one of the most important issues and important debates that the United Kingdom will have had for over 40 years. And that's saying something in terms of Northern Ireland politics, but it really is hugely, hugely important for the future of the United Kingdom. I've no objection to Europe. I love Europe. I just don't love the EU. And it's very interesting, the terminology is constantly and deliberately confused. So people talk about those dreadful people who want to leave Europe. Well, Europe's a continent. It's very difficult to actually pull ourselves away from it. What we do want to see, we want to see a free Europe. We want to see countries getting along and cooperating, not shackled together. And I have said very clearly, I don't love the EU. It's an artificial, bureaucratic organisation bringing together not even all of the countries in Europe, 28 countries out of the whole of Europe. And I think it's very important when we have this debate to look back at what happened when we originally joined back in 1973. Now, there's probably not many of you in the room who remember 1973. I do, so I'm one of the older ones. And, of course, that was the common market that we joined, and then we voted to remain in a referendum in 1975. And I think then those who voted to stay in, and many of you here may have done that, had absolutely no idea that what was then a smallish, we were the ninth member of the common market, would become 40 years later. 28 countries with a bloated, undemocratic, unelected commission and costing us more than £365 million per week. When we joined, the nine members had 36% of the world's economy. Today, the 28 members have 17% of the world's economy, and it's falling literally as we speak. So it's a shrinking market. In fact, it's the only continent now in the world where the economy is shrinking. Dan Hannan, one of the very articulate MEPs, he is a Conservative, but we'll forgive him for that, he actually made a statement once that the only two continents where there was no growth was the Antarctica and the EU. He then had to correct himself and say that actually he got it wrong, because it was actually only the EU. Antarctica actually had a growing economy. And if we look in 2006, the European Union took 64% of UK exports. In 2014, it took 43%. Of our exports. It's again shrinking as we speak. So by 2025, are we really saying that it's going to be absolutely crucial for our exports? And I think we have really to understand that the European Union is something now of the past, and that we have to be looking to a better future. Our trade with the EU peaked in the early 90s, and we have to look beyond that protectionist bloc. We have to look far more towards the Far East, where India, Indonesia and Brazil are the expanding, growing economies of the future, while our Commonwealth cousins, India, Canada, Australia and New Zealand, those countries that we so shockingly cut off when we joined the common market, that actually those are where we have our future, and we are culturally and historically much better suited to trade with them, and they want to trade with us. Now, I mentioned New Zealand in particular, and it was very interesting because New Zealand, when Harold Wilson went to negotiate at the time of our going to join, the one thing he came back with was that we were going to still have the right to buy New Zealand butter. And I think that actually, while that seems absolutely nothing now, it is even more than what the current Prime Minister, David Cameron, is going to come back with when he brings back a pointless paper. And that's why those of us in Labour Leave and those of us in both the Leave EU campaign and the Vote Leave campaign, which complements and we're all kind of angling around at the moment, but ultimately my view is that we will all come together to be registered as one campaign, which would be much more sensible. But that's why we've taken the decision in Labour Leave. There's no point waiting for this piece of white paper to come back, because we know that what he's asking for is really, really meaningless and in no way anything to do with a fundamental change, which is what he said, the Prime Minister said he wanted to see in our relationship. So the freedom, the emancipation of an exit would allow the United Kingdom to sell freely to the whole of the world, including all of Europe, and very importantly, it would also allow for the less developed countries to sell freely to us, because the net effect of this would to be improve their standard of living too, so helping to remove the desire and the need for many of their people to move to the United Kingdom and deplete their own human resources. So it is a win-win for everyone. And as things stand now, EU policy condemns many of our poorest countries to a form of hopeless servitude that should have been consigned to history. And I think it's a shame, particularly for those on the left, to condone this. And that is why, again, it is not leaving the EU is not just a view of right-wing people, whatever, and I don't like these expressions anymore, right-wing and left-wing, because I think they've become pretty meaningless. But for on the left, there is a really strong argument of why we should be leaving. I said the word free trade earlier, and trade freely, because thanks to the World Trade Organization, the EU can't level any higher tariffs on us or stop us trading with them, so we will be able to trade whatever deal we have with the EU and whatever the scare stories about millions of jobs. And by the way, this, what I call the Brussels-funded CBI, I'm sorry if there's any members here of the CBI, but the Brussels-funded CBI have even stopped talking about the 3 million job losses because they know that that is just not on. And on the subject of the World Trade Organization, do you know who represents us, the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland? A Belgian lecturer. Now, I've got nothing against Belgians, and I've got nothing against lecturers, because I used to be one, but, you know, all of the 28 countries, all of the industries and everything within the EU are represented by one man, Mark Van Hoekelen. So he represents all the farmers, say, from County Armagh or County Antrim, the car workers of Dusseldorf, to the carpenters of Croatia. He is meant to represent all of them. Freed from the shackles of the European Union, we would have our own representative on the World Trade Organization representing your interests and not having to work on the interests of 28 other countries. And I don't want to tell the Belgians or the Irish how to run their affairs, and I definitely don't want them to be negotiating for us. And of course, at the moment, the man in charge of rural affairs across the whole of the EU is a former Fianna Gael politician, Mr. Hogan, and he is representing all of the farmers and everything on rural areas. He is our representative. We do not have our own representative. We are... Finally, on the economic thing, because I think it's really, really important. Next time anyone tells you that a British exit from the EU would lead to a collapse in our exports, ask them, to which European country do we export more goods by value than any other? And the answer is Switzerland. In August, according to the Office for National Statistics, we exported 2.3 billion worth of goods there, making it the United Kingdom's second largest export market after the United States. The Netherlands is number three and China number four. So although we are continually being told that a British exit would leave us economically isolated, three out of our current top four largest export markets are non-EU countries. And also they are markets that are actually growing rapidly. The EU accounts for just 1 in 14 of the world's 7 billion consumers, and membership of the EU is doing little to help us reach the rest. Indeed, in many ways, it's hampering us to sell to the rest of the world. The think tank Civitas recently studied and found and looked at the example of Switzerland, which has negotiated its own free trade deal with Japan in 2009. The EU still has no free trade deal with Japan, a G8 country and one of the most prosperous markets on earth. So we are a proud country. We have a proud history. We have the fifth largest economy in the world. We have the fifth biggest military budget. We are in the G7 and the G20. We are one of five permanent veto-wielding members of the United Security Council. Our language is the most spoken language in the world. We have some of the best universities in the world. So why the timidity of hiding in a crowd of 28? How much bigger do we have to be before we realise... bigger do we have to be before we realise that we don't have to invite European Union non-elected commissioners to run our affairs? Now, the Remain campaign will use all sorts of scare stories, and actually their name of their overall thing, they didn't even use the word EU, they used Europe, you know, that was that, you know, and it's, I think it comes out at BSE, Well, some of the farmers here know all about BSE, so I don't think they've chosen a very good title for the Remain campaign. They're going to try to scare us, to diminish our country, to allege that our huge billion-dollar economy is too small to negotiate trade deals, while we know that a tiny little Iceland, good football team, but they tiny little Iceland economy can actually negotiate its own free trade deal with China. Another of the establishment scare stories is that agriculture will suffer, and I know this is a hugely important issue for farmers and for Northern Ireland generally. And coming from a farm myself, I watched over the years as my parents' smaller and smaller agricultural holdings, as they got older, got smaller, the piles of bureaucracy got higher and higher and higher, so that you're left with having one cow, and you might as well have the whole of Northern Ireland's cows, because the bureaucracy lasts just as much time to make you to make you do it. And I just think that the CAP policy, which is actually all about the French farmers, but subsidises French farmers at the cost of many, many poorer countries, that would have to be abolished in terms of if we were to leave. But our farmers could still be subsidised because it's our money. We would decide how that money was spent. You, the farmers, would know how best to spend it. You know the waste that goes on. You know the neo-corruption that goes on. This has to be stopped. And it's our money going to Brussels, who then give us some back, but they decide how it's going to be spent. So I believe that the scare story about the CAP is just a nonsense. And let's not forget, of course, that very many of the people, the same people who are scaring us now, and you see them on television all the time, the Michael Heseltines, the Peter Mandelsons, the whoever, they are the very, very same people who said, if we didn't join the euro, the country was finished. Well, aren't we glad our country wasn't finished by joining the euro? One of the biggest scare stories, and this is particularly relevant, I think, to obviously to Northern Ireland, is that our neighbouring country, the Republic of Ireland, the Taoiseach is interfering now in the EU debate because they desperately want us to stay in. And I think what's rather sad, and I think it's actually quite shocking, really, that many now of the Republic's politicians are actually saying that if the UK was to leave the European Union, that somehow that would be the end of peace in Northern Ireland. I think that is a shocking indictment and a dreadful slur on the people of Northern Ireland, who have come through so many, many years of terrible, terrible things. And whatever the disputes and the arguments now, and I don't want to go into that today, we know that still Northern Ireland is a better place. It's not the best place yet, and there's a long, long way to go, and I could spend half an hour telling you what I think, but I won't. But in terms of that, how dare the government in the Republic of Ireland tell us that if we decide that we wish to leave and see our future outside the EU, that somehow is going to make the streets of Belfast be running with blood. I think it's shocking. Our country is a great democracy. It's our parliament, the mother of parliaments, of which I'm a very proud member. Has been sovereign since, I think, William of Orange time. You all heard of William of Orange. I thought that might get a cheer. and we want to have that democracy back. We want to actually do, and I know it's a bit of a cliche, but we really do need to take control of our own country back. Now, even the EU president, and they have all these grand titles now at the EU, so the president, Jean-Claude Juncker, who actually was, I don't know whether this is probably not going to be taken to court for saying this, but he was certainly an ally, I think, of all of Europe's tax avoiders while he was the Prime Minister of the Duchy of Luxembourg. He actually admitted, perhaps when he was, I think the expression is tired and emotional, that Britain didn't need the European Union. Well, of course, he's wrong about Britain. It's the United Kingdom. But he is so right that we don't need this vast bureaucracy. One that can't even get its account signed off for many, many years, that moves everything at a snail's pace and tells us things like that we can't lower the VAT on goods that we would like to. An issue that huge concern to women, absolutely ridiculous that sanitary products you have to pay VAT on, not a luxury good. We can't do it because of the European Union. And it's those kind of concrete examples that we have to be getting out there in the campaign. Many other people will say but we cooperate on energy, we cooperate on terrorism, we cooperate on immigration. We wouldn't be able to do any of this if we weren't in the EU. Look at extradition, they say. Well, I actually think that's complete and utter rubbish, because of course we can work with all these countries. We can work with countries that are not in the EU, so why can't we work with the countries that are in the EU when we leave? And, some of the extradition stuff I think have been pretty dreadful, where people have been arrested, and innocent, totally innocent British people have been arrested to be taken back to Greece for some kind of fine to do with a motoring offence or a traffic violation. And all of these things could be worked out. We have all these relationships now with other countries not in the EU. As a Labour MP, of course, I don't like the neoliberal agenda either of the EU, because it was seen as a protection of workers originally. It's actually doing now more to not protect workers. And you just have to look at what happened in Greece recently and the way that the Greek people were totally subsidiary, totally unimportant in relation to the protection of the banks. The EU forced austerity on Greece while just ignoring the democratic will of the people. And not only has this social Europe, which was once so in hoc, really, and loved by the trade unions, it's been shown now to be anti-social Europe by attacking trade union rights right across the member states. It's the EU rules that are helping to privatise ferry services in Scotland, pushing the privatisation of state railways, and has actually led to the casualisation of labour across the EU, and it's directly linked to pushing down wages. Again, these neoliberal rules are all about actually supporting the multinationals rather than ordinary people. I'm a huge supporter and have been a member of the CWU, the Communication Workers Union, for many, many years, and there's absolutely no doubt about it that without the EU, it would have been so much more difficult for our Royal Mail to be privatised, even for a government that wanted to privatise. And I think that if we stay in the EU, we will see more and more of that privatisation, which does not do anything for ensuring that those particular markets will stay open and that people will be given proper rights at work. So I won't even go into TTIP. I'm sure you've all heard of TTIP, this big negotiation that's going on between the European Union and the United States, in secret, of course, very, very little open about it, which is really about giving the global corporate companies, the private companies, powers over elected governments. And so there is a threat to the National Health Service through these kinds of deals, and we have to be aware of that. So the European Union is a chain, I think, that holds back all its member countries, and I hope that we can free ourselves from its bonds to make the people of the United Kingdom, especially here in Northern Ireland, better off. And don't be taken in also by those who say, but hasn't it made us more secure? Aren't we happier and more secure now that we had an EU? The reality is that the EU hasn't kept Europe safe. What has kept Europe safe, actually, in terms of marginal safety, because of course there's been terrible things happening over the European continent and Yugoslavia and other places, has been our membership of NATO, and that would not be affected in any way by us leaving the EU. So my own opposition to Britain's membership or the United Kingdom's membership isn't born out of xenophobia, as some would accuse of us being sort of little Englanders. I don't want to be a little European. I want to be an internationalist. And it's born out of a realisation that the European Union does not work and cannot work for ordinary people. Because of the gross mismanagement, countries throughout the EU have massive debts, and that money has ultimately ended up in the pockets of very rich people, the fraudsters and the private banks. and ordinary people have had no direct control over what happens and who ultimately pays for it. And that is just totally unacceptable in this day and age. And let's be absolutely clear, the European Union doesn't give us one single law that we couldn't do if we wanted in our own parliament. Of course, we could continue with many of the Social Europe rights that I mentioned, but everything we do it because our elected politicians have decided and our country has decided, and we can kick them out. We can't kick out the European commissioners. So with a majority government of whatever kind, whatever your politics are, you can get those laws anyway. So I don't believe that we can go on like this. I think the European Union is moving away from us, and therefore we need to make that decision to get out. When we joined the common market, Tony Benn called it a coup d'etat by a political class who did not believe in popular sovereignty. And I think what he said then is equally as true today. He was also joined, in terms of Labour, people that you will all have heard of, Barbara Castle, Peter Shore, Gateskill, you know, people who really understood the long-term aim of what the common market was actually all about. 40 years on, it is that same political class, an establishment of the elites in the EU, in Europe, who now determine what goes on. I do genuinely believe that it's time for democratic governments across the EU to reclaim power from Brussels and begin again to represent the real interests of their peoples. I love my country. I'm very, very proud to be British. I believe in the United Kingdom. And I have confidence in our ability to once again be a self-governing nation. And the referendum gives us that chance. The referendum will allow us to be able to exert that vote to say that we want our country back and that we want to be independent and trading in a cooperative way with the whole of the world. We can make that happen. Let's make it happen. Let's join the rest of the world. Thank you.